Welcome to the Unforgiving 60, this supplementary episode, which we're calling the RV. Ben, welcome to the RV.
Thank you very much, Tim. And for those who don't have a military background, the RV is a rendezvous. It's a place that you nominate before a mission where if you get separated, if you get lost, you can meet back up again, consolidate, and then carry on with the mission. And that's exactly what we're doing through this particular episode.
That's right. So we're going to consolidate on a few questions from listeners. The first question I've got is from Phil, originally from the UK, now living in Australia. And his question is, I wonder your thoughts about the emotional toll of leadership. As a leader, there's a need to be very sensitive to the emotion of the team and to see problems before they emerge. However, a leader also needs to have an emotional thick skin and make decisions which are without emotional bias. Ben?
This is such a good question, and it's one, if I'm honest, that I've wrestled with in my entire career and continue to do so. The first point is that I think increasingly we're seeing the importance of emotional intelligence. We're seeing the importance of empathy at all levels in leadership. And so I think the idea of an emotionally distant leader is a thing of the past. It's certainly not the way we want to lead in this contemporary environment. However, there's that constant tension with the fact that we, as leaders, need to make difficult decisions. There's a fantastic quote that says, it is those tough decisions that move the dial, that move the needle. And so we do need to be in a position where we can still make those decisions. And for me, that tension manifests in this contest between, likership and leadership. You know, you do want to be emotionally connected to the people you're working with, but you don't want that to go to the point where you're compromised in your ability to make a tough decision.
Anyone can make the popular ones. It's the hard ones that really define the leader and, of course, move the needle. And you've also mentioned the syndrome, metaphorically speaking, that leaders eat last. And I'd redefine that saying, actually, leadership can be very lonely.
Without a doubt.
If you're not prepared for loneliness, I'd say think twice about whether you take a role as a leader.
And in fact, in his question, Phil goes on to talk about the idea of the leader often needing to stand isolated and, to quote Kipling, our favourite Kipling poem, keep your head when all about are losing theirs. And so I think that ties in perfectly to that tension between having that empathy and the emotional connection with the people you're leading, but also being able to stand alone. Fantastic question, though, Phil. And in fact, Tim, you just mentioned this idea of officers eating last, and this touches perfectly on another piece of feedback we got from Dunk. Now, Dunk is from the UK, and he pointed us in the direction of a fantastic article, which we'll link in our social media. But it's an article from LinkedIn entitled, Is Royal Marine Servant Leadership Applicable for the Modern World?, written by Anthony Thompson. What are your thoughts on that, Tim?
It's, again, just about the selflessness of the leader. We've talked in Leadership as a Contact Sport, that episode about servant leadership and swarm leadership, that servant leadership is about rising above yourself and existing to serve the organisation and its people. And I think it's a really nice way to think about serving inside the military uniform, because it's definitely not about one person.
Without a doubt. And I think not only does that selflessness, that, I guess, altruism, if you like, create a far more effective leadership environment, but it also enables your subordinates by thinking of the things you can do as a leader to encourage their development, to free them to reach their potential, then obviously the whole organisation benefits from that.
Dunk also cites a Simon Sinek video, which you'll be able to find on YouTube.
No, I did. And our final piece of listener feedback, another cracking question from Dave. Tim, what did Dave ask us?
So Dave is a firefighter, an urban firefighter, and he's been given the opportunity to instruct new recruits inside a firefighting academy. He's super confident in his own ability, but he's concerned that at least one of the other instructors is arrogant, closed-minded, and a notorious bully, quote-unquote. So he's very much torn by taking that opportunity, which would be great for his professional development, because of that other instructor.
That's a pretty vexing position, and it talks to this constant messy tension that we have as leaders. In this case, it's probably more of a situation of peer leadership. Organisationally, I think you've completely identified, Dave, that there's an opportunity here to make the organisation a better place by taking that job and working to change the culture, change the environment that exists at the moment. And one of the really funny things about this is that in a lot of these circumstances where we see people exhibiting toxic leadership, in many cases, they're not even aware that they're doing it. That the tough, courageous conversation with the individual to say, listen, this is the impact that your behaviour is having on the organisation, can be the first step to actually making them aware and getting, driving a change in behaviour. We talk about a technique of SBIBI, situation, behaviour, impact, behaviour, impact. So explain the situation, explain the behaviour that you're seeing the other person conduct, explain the impact that's having on the organisation, and then offer alternative behaviours and impacts that can actually be more positive. And this can be a really good way of kickstarting a courageous conversation.
And Dave, let's press fast forward on this. You should go and do this. And you should lead the change from within, be the change from within. The 360-degree peer feedback that Ben talked about, I actually implemented back in my troop command days in the SAS. It works so well, the peer-to-peer feedback. And I'd say that leading peers is arguably the most difficult challenge for a leader. Would you agree, Ben?
Without a doubt, because in that situation, you don't have the positional leadership. You don't have the authority that's vested in a hierarchical position that's higher than the person you're trying to lead. You are, by very definition, at the same level, your peers. And so you are reliant on far more influence. And, you know, having that courageous conversation is a way of at least initiating the change in behaviour.
And placed in Dave's position, I would be focused on the purpose of me taking the role and not anything that's a sideline or a distraction. And by way of summary, I'd be filling my unforgiving minute. Let's get on with the show. There is no show.
There is no show. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for those questions. We certainly welcome all feedback on the show, good, bad, or indifferent. And you can engage with us through debrief at unforgiving60. That is debrief at unforgiving60.com.
Or our Instagram, Twitter, Facebook page, all of which you can provide feedback on.
We'll see you on the next episode
of the Unforgiving 60.